Yep. We just got spotted.
I need to get a bottle of whiskey.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
No wine?
You have wine. I'll have whiskey. All
right.
I'm sticking to one thing.
That's right. I forgot.
Unlike the opening night, I'm sticking to one booze. No tequila shots for me tonight.
What if you run into another
dancer or whatever? Yeah.
If I run into the same dancer, and I'll know it because I have a picture of him, I will take a tequila shot, and that's the only thing that will deter me from my plan.
I'm scared. Welcome to Bitch Talk, booze interviews straight from the heart of San Francisco. I'm Erin. That's Ange.
Hi.
That's Shar.
Hello.
You can find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com, where you can sign up for our monthly e-news.
For behind-the-scenes videos and two-minute clips of our interviews, head to our YouTube channel and subscribe.
You can find us every other Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. at BFF.fm.
And if you like what you hear, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For the love of God, do it. It really helps.
Okay. Hey, everybody. This is the 600th fucking episode of Bitch Talk. I don't feel a day over 100.
We're 600 years old, officially.
Yeah, I mean, we are 600 years old. How's your glittery drink over there, Char?
Fantastic.
It's beautiful.
So the official name for this episode is...
All right.
Now I don't remember.
Bitch
Talk 24-hour whirlwind 600th episode extravaganza.
Sure.
Because I, Ange, flew in at 8 a.m. this morning,
yeah.
And I am leaving tomorrow at 7 a.m. So
but literally,
it's technically 23 hours.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, yes. And I'm here for the 600th to celebrate with you bitches. Why are you looking at me?
I'm laughing because... Here's the thing. I still feel like we're recovering from our 500th. Like, I still have shit to send to our listeners. Sorry, everybody. I'm getting there. My sister called me out on that. The thing is, we had our 500th, and then the election happened, and then everything else fell apart, and then there was an insurrection, and then I still don't know if Joe Biden is the winner of the presidency. So I'm recovering through that, and no, that's no excuse. But I think the 500th happened, and... We've done 100 episodes since then, which I can't believe. And we're 600th, and I feel like it's a little more mellow, which I'm fine with, because the 500th was a lot of production work.
It was a lot. It was well worth it, but
it was at least a month's worth of production.
Oh,
or
easily.
about 2 months of like pre...
Well, we started think tanking
in
at
July.
Least by that summer.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the event was in October. So, yeah. A good few months. Cheers.
We're cheersing. Yeah. There's our friend Dana also.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, but we almost didn't do anything. It was like, it just came up so suddenly. We were like, oh, fuck. Char, what episode are we on?
I have to be honest, I was just brain dead and just booking. So I'm like, oh, yeah, it's coming up. Oh, yeah, it's coming up. And then I kept seeing the numbers on the episode artwork. And I'm like, fuck, it is like here.
Well, at one point I was like, there's no way. You had your surgeries coming up in a few days.
Yeah, she's up here, but getting a pre-op tomorrow morning. That's why she's going to leave at 7 a.m. sharp down in L.A. And yeah, there's a lot of things that were compounding. The situation.
You like to do pre-op appointments or major appointments after a blind spotting event.
Oh, that's true.
Oh my god, I hope this one turns out better. Yes, I will.
You can't still be wearing that tomorrow.
I will not be on the verge of throwing up or crying, hopefully, at my pre-op. But yeah, you're right.
But no, I was thinking that we were going to. I thought, oh, we're probably just going to celebrate 650 or something of that, because it was just coming up so quick.
I was
like, there's no way we were going to be able to, for all three of us to be together or figure out a way to creatively be together or what have you. And then sure enough, here we go. Boom. You're like, I'm here for 24 hours. Go.
And it was, it was a real last minute trip, but we got invited to...
Yeah,
the
finale of Blind Spotting. It's a private event in Oakland. Basically, the same day that we were already thinking about Ange coming up here anyways, to do something because we knew like the week leading up to the 600 that she wasn't going to be able to come out because of her surgery. So literally everything fell into place. And I need to mention that we're sitting at the restaurant Alamar in Oakland. And this is owned and run by Chef Nelson German. He was actually a contestant on the latest Top Chef, which I was super stoked about. Jeff and I watched that. And he's also a friend of our friend of the show, Chef 2, David Fu. So we've been trying to get him on the show, but ever since Top Chef and it ending, he's actually in a lot of events for Top Chef. So we've been trying to schedule it. I've been wanting Ange to be a part of it. I've been wanting Char to be a part of it. Long story short, we're here. They treated us to a really nice dinner. Thank you so much. Chef Nelson and his staff has been great. And we ate a lot of seafood.
The bomb oysters, yes. Raw oysters, and the best shrimp tacos I've ever had.
Best.
Served with a like seafood jus.
It was like a consomme.
Stew. Consomme, yes, yeah, that's the word. And you dip the goddamn taco in the consomme, yes. And it's heaven.
Yeah, it was heaven.
And we almost didn't save the last one for Char.
Yeah, sorry, Char. It was real hard to save that last taco.
Hey, you come late, you serve the consequences.
You serve?
Consequences.
Here we go.
I'm from New
everybody.
York.
No, but I was totally expecting, it took me 3 hours to get here, so I was totally was expecting for it to be like just disheveled leftover.
No, we're not assholes.
But we are very excited. We have a solid foundation in our stomachs, and we are ready for the night. So we're going to come back at you from the event. We're going to go to an after party. So this is just the beginning.
I'm scared, but we'll see what happens. The other thing is to note, Ange has also been busy leading up to today. So I don't even know if you've been sleeping. I don't know what's going on with you.
Yeah, I've had two solid days of drinking, but it's my family's fault. My youngest nephew graduated from college 2 days ago. So we had a party on Friday, and then we had another party on Saturday. And now I'm here. I flew at 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
So
here we are.
Yeah, I'm spread a little thin, but
don't ever say we're lazy. That's all I'm going to say. Don't ever use that word with us because we are not. God damn it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we'll see you up at the Blind Spotting season finale, which is going to be dope. I don't know what's going to happen.
And by the time you guys are listening to this, hopefully you have listened to all of our interviews that have led up to this moment.
Yes.
With just the incredible cast.
Yeah.
We love everybody on this show, and we can't wait to have everyone else on.
Yeah. So if you haven't, please listen to our interview with Candace Nicholas Lippman. We've got Benjamin Earl Turner. We've got April Absinthe. We did flashback to our interview with Rafael Cazal, who's the screenwriter, the showrunner, the actor, the director, poet, Bay Area native, all of the things. We interviewed him right ahead of when the show was premiering. I'm going to guess we'll have another interview tonight. So I'm sure we'll get
more
from
Rafa. We're hunting you down, Rafa. Yeah.
So anyways, go enjoy all of those. And then we'll see y'all at the Blind Spotting season finale. So we are at the Blind Spotting season finale at the Chabot Science Center. It's been pretty cool. It's like only maybe 100 folks, 150.
If that. It's super intimate. It's a beautiful Oakland night.
Yep.
And we have already seen half of our favorite people that we were expecting to and hoping to see.
Well, so, we keep running into old friends, and then the new friends, we just kind of are like deer in headlights.
Right.
For.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. We're just like, but
I'm just going to go ahead and say I saw Jalen Barron and I freaked out. She plays Trish. And it came out of nowhere. And I said, "Cheers, queen." And I was holding a flask of whiskey. And anyway, we're about to watch this show.
Well, here's Davina Rafa introducing. We'll be back, you guys. Bye.
Okay, we are here at the Blind Spotting season finale at the Chabot Science Center in Oakland.
Did you say Chabot?
No, no. I said Chabot.
Okay, I'm just checking.
You interrupted me.
There was a questionable T.
Yes,
maybe. I heard
you.
It too.
Thank you, Alana Brown.
Thank you.
I heard it.
Okay.
I'm just really happy that people are here to check. That's all. Okay.
Okay, well, I'm never introing again. But I am happy to say that we are sitting down with old friend of the show, Alana Brown. Woo. We had you here for Trees of Peace, which is a film that you directed, an incredible film. And we didn't even know.
We had no idea.
What
really.
You were bringing.
No idea.
Spotting.
Thank you very
as
much.
A writer.
Just like hiding that all the way on the inside.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Specifically, episode 5, Beaches Be Trippin'. One of my favorite episodes. We had no idea.
No idea.
And we were like, God damn, Alana Brown. So thank you. What is it like to watch the show come to life? Your first ever regular writer's job.
Yeah.
Come to life.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, first of all, I love that response of Beaches Be Trippin', because that was kind of how it felt to be like, I pitched that idea in the room, the shamanic journey, the shamanic trip. And that
why did you pitch that? I need to know the backstory.
Did this actually happen? Yeah. I mean, I did this, I didn't do it at the beach. It was in Riverside at a shamaness's house, but it was, I mean, the first of all, Aaron Feely did such an amazing job executing the vision and executing like the truth of that particular scene and that particular sequence. Because that's really like what it was like. There's nobody playing the flute. No one played the Mac Dre flute, but
in your head, maybe.
In my head, maybe that was happening at the time. But it was very like close to the real experience, which was really amazing to watch on a television show. And
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Like, we got deep into all these episodes. She's watched them twice. I've gone through I think the first 4 or 5 when I had like a minute. Was there a white girl crying about others like outside of the group? Like, was
yes.
that a real part?
Okay. Yes.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Just checking.
It's heavy. I mean,
yes,
it's
heavy.
Like real shit.
Yes.
Like, I mean, people were divulging real stuff going on in their lives, you know, and that's the point of it. For me, like, I was there at a time when I just needed clarity in my life.
Yeah.
That was part of what the medicine is supposed to do.
Right.
Is you actually vomit. You do vomit, and it's supposed to provide clarity in your life for when you feel like you're stuck. And and people were there for some heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. But you've got the people playing the instruments, and you pass the sage and you say your intention and then you're off to the races. So,
for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. As someone that's only done drugs recreationally, I would like to, in my elder years, go back with a focus and a goal. And so that's kind of inspiring to me to, obviously I took a lot of good from it, but also it was just being young and stupid.
Right. Yeah.
So I would like to go back, and that episode definitely inspired me.
Good.
To like, you know, maybe kind of now that I'm of an older year, to kind of go back with a focus and a goal. And intention. Intention is what it's all about. Yeah.
Same. I'm of an older year as well. And so having an intention when you go into that kind of like headspace is really, really cool. It really like just makes a really cool experience. I mean, it's a cool experience regardless, but like when you go into it with that intention, it just takes it to another level.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And here we are at the finale. I was hoping we were going to see you.
I saw you guys and I was like, yes.
Well, I kind of yelled at you. So sorry.
We kind of chose this location because we can like peep.
Pounce on people.
And creep.
We can just be like,
we
in
know
the
who's
trees.
Coming.
Yes.
Near the bushes.
Yes.
Yeah, because we just love everyone from the show. We want to talk to everyone tonight. So thank you for being a warm, welcoming face.
I know.
And kind of the start of, hopefully we'll get to talk to as many people as possible.
I'm sure people will love to come over here and chat with you ladies. And thank you for being such advocates and champions of the show and just like shouting it out there, because we need more people to watch it.
Well,
and
it's a hell of a show. I mean, we were already fans, but this brought it to the next level.
I'm expecting Emmy nominations for sure.
Oh, I said that.
I love that.
I said
across
that.
Putting
board,
that out
there's
there.
So many different categories that this show would just fit in. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that.
Before you leave and get more beer or whatever the hell you're doing, because that's where you found us.
Getting free shit.
I know. Getting the free beer.
Don't judge.
What are you working on now? Are you getting Trees of Peace out there? What else is happening in your life?
Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Trees of Peace is in the midst of distribution.
Cool.
Like, hopefully closing our distro deal very soon.
Yay.
And I can't really say anything else about it because the deal is not closed, but hopefully it will be available later this year or early 2022.
Okay.
And I am currently writing a feature for New Line. And it's, yeah, yes. an adaptation of a book called The Forgetting Time. It's a really beautiful story about a Black mother and her son and the lengths she will go to protect her son. And there's a magical realism element, and it's a really beautiful story. So I'm having so much fun writing it.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And you will be writing for Blindspotting Season 2.
Yes.
I sure hope so.
Yes.
That's just going to happen.
Keeping my fingers crossed, putting it in the universe.
Yes.
Manifest.
Yes.
Yes. Manifest that shit. Yes.
Yes.
Well, cheers. Let's grab our beers and have a fun night.
Yes. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Alana.
Of course.
We are back at the Blindspotting season finale with the one and only Margot Hall, who plays Mama Nancy, who everybody wishes was their mama, maybe was their dating coach. I don't know. I just all need all kinds of advice from you.
Yes. It's about living, honey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And getting through.
I just want to know, this character, what did you bring to this character? What did you know this character to be? And what did you yourself bring to it? Because we are in love.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, Nancy is living her life. You know, she raised a child and she's like, now is my time. She has that line. She says, wop, 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 I reclaim my time.
Yes.
Right. And that's what you need. You know, you get to a certain age and you're like, I've done my due. I have raised my child. She has been to Bali.
Yes.
And I have decided it's me time.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying my life. And I think that Nancy, what I love about her and the way they've written Nancy is that she just walks in the room, drops some knowledge, and walks out.
Yeah,
because she's got stuff to do.
It's so one of the best parts of this show, to be honest. I mean, there's so many best parts, but...
Yeah, but I love the realness of Nancy. I love that she loves her family, but she loves herself. You know, we're in the age of self-care.
Yeah.
And I think that Nancy is really showing that no matter what age you are, you have to take care of yourself and you have to find joy. You know, Nancy finds her joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. I'm like, whether it's ice cream or sorbet or, I don't know,
or her life.
Or dating.
Yes.
Which I always love.
Yes.
I mean, you're one of the actors. There's not that many. It's you and Rafa, really, I think, if I'm remembering all the episodes correctly. There's actually, a couple of other just sporadic actors that are like the through lines from the movie to the TV episodic. Can you talk about this?
And, like, oh, wow. The movie.
I mean, tell us about, the movie wrapped and we love the movie.
Yes.
And then you're like, the episodic. How did that even come to
Well, you know, it's so interesting because I've known David and Rafa for many years. And David and I work together in theater because I'm a theater artist, you know. And so they kept telling me, we're going to write this movie about, we're going to be in this moving company. We're going to be movers. And I was like, okay, yeah.
You're all amped.
All right, guys.
Mildly.
Right,
that's
like,
how they described it?
We're going to be in this moving company, and it's me and David and da-da-da. And I was like, okay, just let me know what's up. So then they were like, we're doing it. And I was like, cool. Then they were like, and you're going to play David's mom. I was like, well, hit me up when you're ready, and I'll come down. So, so that happened. And then... they were like, we're getting ready to do a TV show. And I was like, okay, cool. And then they were like, and you're in it. I was like, great.
Hey, it's work. It's
you're
work.
Still Nancy. And I was like, that is amazing. I am so proud of these two.
Aww.
These are my babies. You just don't know. And so the next thing I know, I'm in LA and I'm on a TV show. And I'm just being me. You know, I'm being Nancy. She's real. She's honest. She's authentic. And the writing is so good. People keep saying, you're so funny. And I'm like, it's the writing, y'all. All I have to do is open my mouth. And it's so authentic and real. And I love, you know, it's nothing like being on a show where you love everybody on the show. Because TV is tricky, right?
Yeah.
It's like.
I get that feeling.
Yeah. It's like. You're her daughter, go.
Right.
You have to love in the moment.
It's not as emotionally available.
Because I'm
for
a theater artist. Yeah. We have 4 weeks to rehearse.
Right. At
but least. You're talking about walking to a room. I meet Janelle. It's like, this is your daughter. Go. And of course, she's a flower of joy.
We just had her on the show. Yeah. I mean, hello.
Yes. And so instantly, I love her. And that's easy.
Yeah.
And then there's Ben. Who doesn't love Ben? Right?
Who doesn't love Ben? I will punch them in the face.
And we are listening to his album right now in real life, Benjamin Earl Turner. Yes.
All of these amazing, beautiful, humble people.
Mm, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can I ask you a question? Because we had Rafa on in June, so before the premiere.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about equity in the writer's room, right? Because that's a big thing right now, and it just should be forever. Yeah. Did that make a difference to you filming the show?
You know, all of that. It's our time.
Yes.
It's our time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's like we are such an amazing culture of people. And I'll say this, I had a couple of people come to me and they were like, are these two guys writing for the women in the show? I said, you know, there's a group of writers.
Right.
There are female writers. And these writers, my friends, David and Rafa, they ask us. I had a monologue in that episode about race.
Yes, you did. And that's one of our favorite.
The monologue.
Yes. Right. They came to me in my trailer and said, what do you think, Margot? Do you want to add anything? Does this feel good to you? That's who these people are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's an authentic process. That's the thing about when you come from a theater background, you know about collaboration. There's no ego. It's about coming together and making it the best it can be. And that's why I work with these folks, right? Because they come real with it.
Right.
And they don't have egos. They're not trying to say, this is ours. They're saying, this is all of ours.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's community.
And that's why it's so good, right?
Exactly.
You can see it. You can see it in the show.
This is what we've heard across the board from the writers, from the actors.
Yeah.
With David and Rafa and the energy that they put on set that it was collaborative. And we love to hear it. And we hope that this is paving the way for future shows, not only about the Bay Area, but in Hollywood. This is the way shit should be run because it translates on the screen.
And that's the change that's coming.
Yeah.
It's here.
Because
let's just say it's here.
We just watched it.
Because that's how people of color do stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
We trust each other.
Community.
Right. You know? Community.
Mm-hmm.
We trust each other. We genuinely love each other, and we know the struggle.
And so we have conversations.
Willing. Yes, we have conversations, and we're willing to bring others on board, you know? And that's why we gonna take it over.
Blind spotting is paving the way. And before you go, because we want you to enjoy the party, we're going to have a season two of Blind Spotting. What do you hope, Mama Nancy? What happens to Mama Nancy in season two? Let's manifest.
Yes. Well, you know, I really hope that Janelle and I have some mama-daughter time.
Ooh.
And really go deeper in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hoping that I have an opportunity to have a scene with my son.
Yes!
What's his name? Diggs? I don't know.
Colin.
Yeah, what? Yes. Colin,
Mama
whatever
needs
it is.
To see her son.
Correct.
I'm worried about him.
Yeah, we all are.
So I would love that to happen.
Yes.
For sure.
We're waiting with bated breath.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we're so proud of the work that you've done. We thank you for paving the
way.
Thank
you. You guys
are
fantastic.
And being part of this momentous show.
Thank you. Thank
you. It's a real joy. Been watching you for a while. So thank you for being on the show.
All right.
All love.
Love you too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margo.
We are still at the Blind Spotting finale in Oakland in the hills, and we are here with David Diggs.
What up?
What the fuck, man? We haven't seen you since like early pandemic.
Man,
how are you?
I'm so good, man. They had your boy locked in Canada.
Fuck that.
What the hell happened up there?
Man, I was working, and then they were like, you can't leave.
There
were so many celebrations, blind spotting celebrations that happened without you.
I'm aware.
How did it? No, I mean, how did it fit? I'm sorry, but there was so.
Was hard.
I can't imagine. It's like your baby walking for the first time.
The premiere weekend was the hardest, one of the hardest weekends of my life, which I guess means I've led a pretty charmed life. But like, to be watching from afar and see. I mean, also wonderful. It was also like a unique perspective to be like actually on the outside of it, but watching kind of the world that's important to me, like the Bay, and then my close people in LA sort of like witness this thing for the first time that only existed in our heads. It was, I would rather have been there, but it was kind of fun also to just be like fanatically scanning everyone's Instagram and like looking for blind spotting hashtags just to watch the party from different angles, you know?
So, Ange and I are really excited about this show. We've watched it actually a couple times which is, I don't know if that's sad or...
That's beautiful
maybe
to me.
Like no,
it was
that.
An
I don't
honor.
Know.
I will watch it again, third time around.
But, I mean, this process in this show, can you talk to us about that? I mean, we've talked to Alana Brown, we've had Benjamin Earl Turner, we've had Candace on, we have April Absinthe.
April, man,
you guys,
what a treasure.
You're embracing it all.
You know, I think what we learned from making the film is like maybe you only get to do it once, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no like guarantee. And there's nothing like the first time you do something. We'd never made a TV show before. And like you have to really take advantage of the fact that you don't know all the rules. So we just, you know, if this was the only time we were going to get to do it, we wanted to do it with all as many of the people as we love as possible. And you guys,
fine.
Hugs. Everybody needs a hug. David Diggs.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So.
Sorry.
Why? Don't be sorry.
That was just
popular. Yeah.
We dragged you into the corner to like tell a horror story.
Well, no, it was a trip. My uncle just happened to be in town today and he lives in D.C. So it was cool that he could come. And
oh, that's a whole other thing. You're home.
I know.
You're like locked in Canada and now you're home and you just relax. But
I know. I keep telling people I feel like I did a bid, which is an unfair comparison because I made a ton of money. But
cut to the swimming pool.
Waiting for our invite.
Yeah. I'll come over anytime.
We saw that.
Architect
AD?
Digest.
AD. Oh, that's all I know.
And I was like, okay, David, well done.
Well, then we were like,
we know about that.
It doesn't matter. We had a side conversation. We're like, oh, that's the pool. Oh, cool. Well, we can just
come over
in the corner. That's
I don't
cool.
have to be there
that's
either. Cool. Y'all don't have to.
Well, we
want to
meet
there
Emmy.
Right now.
Duh.
That is actually
and
who you want to
meet.
Duh. Yeah, Moose is the best.
I will dog sit the fuck out of that dog.
Moose is here right now. Not here, but he's at my dad's house like in Richmond.
We didn't know last year. Anyway.
All right. Well, we want you to socialize and enjoy your event. But just one more thing. Yeah. Like, just you and Rafa have really managed to create this series just was such a collaborative. I mean, the writers from the writer's room to the actresses, like you've really included all the spectrums of just like women, POC, equality, just everything.
Body types.
Oh, yeah. And like, what does it say about Hollywood when this is your first time and you don't know the ropes and it happens so naturally? What does that tell us? What can we learn from this?
It's hard. You know, it's hard. I think like we benefit a lot from like in the way that we think about big breaks or like times to make it, like we're a little too old to be doing it the first time, you know what I'm saying? In some ways
you don't know how old we are.
I'm saying that's not actually true obviously, but like in terms of like the narrative, the way it tends to go, and I think we've benefited from that a lot because we've made a ton of things and we do know how to make things. And
you're
we
talking
know
about
how to,
experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We have a lot of experience and we know how to make things our way and we don't really know how to make things anybody else's way. And so like we actually like if we were going to succeed in making something, we had to do it our way, which is really just like looking around at the community we come from and being like, that is a person who exists there, so they have to exist on the screen version of that. And they have to also exist behind the scenes of the screen version of that. And that's really all it is. And I think like there are a lot of things about Hollywood that ask you to not do that.
Yes.
But it's to their own detriment. I think we see it more and more. the people who manage to ignore that end up making the things that people really want to see. And so
they look at audiences very narrowly, and they have missed a whole audience.
Yeah, and I don't think they care so much about audiences. They care a lot about returns, and they care a lot about advertising.
The bottom line,
yes.
And that's a battle we always have to fight. But like, you know, they care about advertisers, and advertisers are actually selling a bunch of things that are anti-community, right?
Like, 100%.
And so, like, that's who's running the shows, right? It's not, they don't like, they actually don't care whether or not you like the show. It's whether or not you're gonna watch the ads,
right?
So like,
that's White Claw and shit.
And that's, but like, if you can figure out, if you can make even the advertisers understand that like real people are profitable, then like that, those are the people who are gonna buy your shit, and if you honor them, they will buy your shit more. Then that's all it takes. But really, like I said, it's just like, for us, it was just making things the way we've always made them and the only way we know how. And fortunately, we were able to do it. We found the right partners, and we, you know, we managed to do it this time. So very fortunate.
Yeah. Every step of the series has been perfect in our eyes.
And we can't wait for season two. It's going to happen.
We're waiting.
We're talking Emmy nominations.
Yeah. Look, I've already been like, they need Emmys.
We're here
all
for
of
it.
The Emmys.
Yeah.
Too bad we can't vote. by the way, thank you for being our 600th episode.
This is our 600th episode.
We're owed.
No.
Wait, we've been doing this
seasoned.
For a minute.
We're going to call it the bitch spotting or something.
No, that's not what we're calling it.
Blind talk? Okay. I don't know. We're going to find something.
Blind
but it's 600th.
Talking.
Blind talking. Yeah. But thank you so much.
Thank
this
you,
is,
guys.
We appreciate your
support.
We
appreciate you. Y'all have supported us from jump, and you have the hottest podcast out. So.
Thank you. Oh, last question, because this is my favorite part of Blind Spotting TV. The Bobby Caldwell fucking... Because you reposted our ass. You probably don't even remember.
And she texted me.
I
it's
texted.
It's been a whole thing.
It's been a whole like thing 24 hours of laughing.
Yeah.
Who, please, The Wiz and Bobby Caldwell. Because I also have a side story about that. It was Yoshi's like late 90s, early 2000s. It doesn't matter. But my brother-in-law had no idea that he was white. And he leaned over to my sister and was like, he's white? And that has been like the story
about
Bobby Caldwell.
He made that good black music, man.
Yeah. Blue-Eyed Soul, is that what they call it?
Look, come on.
Who came up?
That whole episode was such a dream, right? Because it was everybody. It was like, we were just, it's just like, well... What's black shit? Like, here we go. Like, what it, like, let's do it. If we're gonna do it, let's do it. And we have an opportunity because they have all these different characters to showcase a ton of perspectives. So, like, between me and Rava and Ben and all of the other writers, Alana, everybody, we really polled everybody. Like, give us your best jokes. Give us, like, what's funny about this? What's hard
table.
About this?
I hope all of it was recorded. There's some gold in there.
There's
sure.
a ton of stuff. And then also, even on the day. And then once you give it to the actors, them being like, oh, but what about this? What about this? And then, like, on the day of shooting, being like, let's change that. No. This is this is funny. This is tragic. Let's do it. Like, it was fucking cool. You know, it was like, it's great. It was a great opportunity to just talk in the way that we actually talk about race, but that you never really see that reflected. Like, it's always treated so heavy. But we all talk about race all the time.
Always.
And half of it's funny. And, and the other half is heavy. But when you have them both, that's what a real conversation is.
Well, thank you for that joke.
And we're
keep me going.
For those listening, we're talking about episode 6. Watch it with the notepad.
Yeah. Just
and,
notes,
yeah. And thank David on Instagram. So
and
there you go.
Thank you for your support as always.
Love you guys, man.
Love you.
Bitch Talk Pod.
My bathing suit is ready.
Let's
okay.
go. Come over.
I was catching up on the podcast and I was driving up to the bay.
Oh, shit.
I caught,
stop it. Stop
I got
it.
Candace's episode.
Which one? Candace?
Stop it. Stop
and
it.
I caught the one about the premiere in LA.
Oh!
Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed.
How fucked up were you?
I was so embarrassed.
It was amazing.
No, I'm not embarrassed.
Like, I drank everything at the first place.
That's recorded.
I didn't know there was a second place.
Had I known there was an...
She...
Don't you know about rationing, Rafa?
It's like, I sent her to do one
Are we
thing.
Recording?
Yeah, no, just give her shit.
You should definitely hear
Just give her shit. Just give her all of the shit.
It was just amazing. I'm listening to it going, oh, this is a totally different perspective on our premiere than mine.
Oh,
like,
I'm
at work. I'm exhausted. Of course, I knew about my outfit switch, you know? I don't know about everybody else.
I was looking for the half gray, the half, but I was looking for
it's
all
It's not
that.
A thing we announce. It's just like a custom. Like, because it's all...
She doesn't know about these things.
The thing is,
bought my outfit at Ross. If you didn't hear, it was $12.
I got these shoes at Ross. I still get it twisted. These my Adidas off the rack. I love me a Ross trip. I'm just saying, the problem is the outfits are so uncomfortable. for the red carpet, that the next thing you want to do is just slip into something a little bit more
now
chill.
It's embarrassing when we know like they're actually listening.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no,
I
totally.
Never
it's fine.
Thought that you would hear that. And so now no, I will never
you
speak
can tell.
Again.
As I'm listening to it, she's never thought in a million years I would be driving in my car.
Never.
And that's why.
Ever.
That's well, amazing.
Like, the best thing is like, again, I'll say it again. I sent her to do one job. I'm like, just get some interviews or like photos. And then it just like turned into a shit show.
Like, what happened last night? Oh, I went in there not turned the
yes!
fuck up.
Well, you didn't hear Benjamin and April too. Everybody was there. And I was like, I checked in with
she
them and I'm like, nobody
anyone.
Was there. You guys,
yeah. No,
they were all in a secret.
The
VIP
whole cast.
When she came back though, like off mic, or maybe it was on mic. Oh.
Mind you, that room only fits about 150
small
people.
Room.
No, but she was like, they didn't show up, and I don't. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like,
I was there all night too. I met a dancer. He bought me tequila shots. Anyway,
no,
let's talk about Robin.
Let's talk about Robin.
Sorry.
She had a good time. It's fine.
Thank you.
Intro
for
intro,
the invite.
Thank you for coming.
Literally, we're at the blind spotting finale.
Yep.
In the Oakland Hills, which
yes, we
is
are.
Fucking bonkers. And we're with Rafael Cazal, who directed the season finale, by the way. Duh, duh, duh.
He didn't have enough credits on
yeah,
this
I'm
show.
Sorry.
Yeah, like as the credits roll, it's just like, well, this feels
like,
arrogant.
Rafa. You sat here and, not sat here actually, you stood here with your dad watching the show.
Yeah.
Like, what's how's
his,
that?
It's his third time seeing it.
Oh, wow.
I want to hear his comments.
But I didn't get
comments.
To. I didn't get to see him see it.
Right.
So I wanted to stand
you're
next to him.
You're watching him watch it.
Yeah, and you know, because he'll start laughing again because there's a crowd. It's a little more infectious.
Yeah.
So I can see what he thinks is funny.
Right.
And that's, you know, really like, you know, my parents are harsh critics about film and television.
Oh.
So when they think something's really good or really funny, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this is, I did it.
Did you
I
take, did my, like, mental notes a little bit? While
oh, yeah,
laughing?
Totally. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, they like that joke. All right.
No, what are the comments? I would love to hear, just overall about the show.
From my dad?
Yes.
Oh. We only want dad comments.
Well, now, we know your dad has the good weed, too, so.
Right.
Oh, he for sure does.
Yeah, so he's sitting there. He's relaxed. He's watching
relaxed,
his son's
smoking
show.
His weed. He's
what are
his
comments?
Show. He loves the dance sequences. Like,
yes.
He loved the ballet.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Especially in the final episode.
Final episode
we both cried.
Yeah,
easily.
That one's tough. That one's tough on the emotions. And then he loves Ben Turner's rap at the end, like the final scene. And he's a big Jalen Trish fan.
We are too.
Yeah, it's just like she's so
I'm
funny.
Intimidated.
She's so good.
I embarrassed myself, Rafa.
She did earlier. She, it's fine.
She came up. I wasn't ready. I was like eating like Flamin' Hot Funyuns.
She's very
or
unassuming. She just like pops up. She's like,
yeah,
hey,
she
you're
pops
like, oh.
up, and I was like, cheers, queen. It was real embarrassing. I was holding my flask.
I promise
wasn't
you,
ready.
She was just as uncomfortable.
Okay, good.
I was really uncomfortable.
She's definitely
no,
like.
They're both like, you blew it.
Yeah,
she's not, you know, thanks. She's a little like Trish, but Jalen's such a fascinating human being, but she's not Trish Turner
I'm
at all.
I'm so intimidated by her character on screen. Where
doesn't she feel like she's like 6 feet tall on screen?
Yes.
And then she walks up to you and you're like, oh, you're small.
I was
oh
like, she's going to rip us apart on yeah. Zoom. So I don't even want to ask her to
she
be
has
on our
such
show.
A, she has such a big presence. It's crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, this is huge. And you guys had to change shit real quick. And be outside because you know,
yeah, yeah,
pandemic.
Yeah.
But you did all this, and it's your birthday, and
yeah.
Oh, happy
so
birthday!
So, season
yes.
two, right? Can we talk
yeah,
about that?
Let me know what you hear.
We want it bad,
like, yeah, me too.
That needs to happen,
and we are expecting Emmy nominations.
Yes.
We've said this to everyone.
Oh man, I don't know,
but
I don't
also,
know about none of that. But you know, is that Hennessy?
No, it's Bullet. But if you want,
oh
some
no, I'm good.
It's well, COVID. Ann.
But also,
I was just gonna be really happy if it was Hennessy.
Well,
that would just been the most bay shit ever.
Yeah, like, I'm so
anyway,
so
we're doing
she's
this
kinda
podcast.
Bougie. She's kind of bougie.
I don't know. Wait,
Bullet,
I don't know. Bullet is
bougie. Exactly.
Bullet's just like Jameson or Hennessy adjacent.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's on the
but
same
it's got
shelf
an extra,
in the liquor store.
It's got an extra vowel in the name, so
that's
maybe
true.
That makes you feel fancy. But you're able to enjoy this show with David.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And that's in Oakland.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's your
kind
mother,
of the,
it's your mothership.
It's the cutest
you
thing
guys
ever.
Are, yeah, it's, I wasn't going to say it, but it
I
kind
am.
Of is.
Oh,
you,
no, it's fucking
you
adorable.
You both were standing here next
it's
to your
fucking
dad.
Adorable.
And it's like, okay, stop being cute.
I, you know, you guys,
let us watch the show.
It's a family show.
I know, it is.
It's a show about a family. Now, life hits them a little hard.
Yeah.
But it's
still,
a family show.
Yeah.
And you know, it's also like, it's also about basically characters that we, you know, that are real people that we actually grew up around. A lot of them are here.
Right.
So it's like, oh, they're kind of watching themselves.
Yeah.
Like Rick Ayers, who's played by Stephen Root on the show, like is a real person. Who's Rick Ayers was sitting over here. He's my godfather. He's also my high school English teacher.
Well, I turned around and I'm like, Office Space.
She kept telling me that. Stapler. And I'm like, I get it. Shut up already. Yeah.
He's very funny.
I'm a nerd. So but yeah,
he was playing my godfather.
I want to say, we talked to you in June. I couldn't watch the series, whatever. But I'm kind of excited that I wasn't able to watch them ahead of time to talk to you. Because there's so much. But I already asked the same question to Davi, but I'm going to ask it again.
Yeah.
The joke that hit for me was all about Bobby Caldwell. The Wiz and Bobby Caldwell. Please.
She's been talking about this.
Yeah, I've been
years.
Talking about it for like the last few weeks.
And she texted me and I was like, I
There's
get
been
it.
A lot
yeah.
of conversations.
The Wiz, and Bobby Caldwell joke came out of an argument I got into with Jasmine's real sister, Sarah. And Sarah was we were talking about true black cinema.
You don't know, you're and, making this is like Christmas.
And she
to
said,
her right now.
You know, okay. She was like, The Wiz, that's the blackest movie ever. I was like, well, technically a white director and a white writer. And she looks at me with a scorn like I've never seen. She goes, Quincy Jones wrote that. I go, well, I think he wrote the music. And I looked it up on IMDb and I was like, yeah, it says he wrote the music. And she goes, Quincy Jones was not properly credited by the white establishment for his contributions to that film. And then somebody else in the room went, damn, The Wiz and Bobby Caldwell. And I fell out.
Dead.
And I just went to the bathroom and wrote it all down.
God.
So on
no
my
comment.
Phone.
No
just,
comment.
Yeah.
We have a lot of things.
I think we need to end it there. Yeah, because you have made her life complete.
Anyway,
I don't
so that joke
know
is a real conversation that happened.
And it is a real conversation.
It's a conversation I
has.
Had like early 2000s at Yoshi's in Oakland. I'm not going to go into it, but I had a family member lean over and like, he's white. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
When it's, came out
people
on
are
age.
Shocked every year. Bobby yeah. Caldwell's white.
Yeah,
he
he's a white man.
An award for it. Let's yeah. be honest.
For being not for being white.
It's just not for fooling.
For fooling everyone.
Them and Hall & Oates.
Yeah, some sort of Guinness Book of World Records. Like the one person everyone thought was black the most.
Bobby Caldwell.
Yeah, for the Guinness.
That's
Book
a Chappelle.
Of World
that's a Chappelle. Yeah. Anyways. All right. Well, we're here with Rafael Cazal, joking around and just seeing the season finale of Blindspotting, our favorite one. One of our favorite shows of the summer.
The best Why, show of the you. Summer. Fuck Appreciate the world. That. Emmy nomination, season 2.
That's what I'm talking about. Bullet.
Boom.
I'm talking about.
All right. All right. I love Hennessy, too.
And also, I mean, you know, if there's something you want to write in for us in season 2, that's cool.
I got you. I got you. All right,
see
y'all.
You later.
I'm going to
get
back to this
bye,
party.
Bye, bye, yep, bye.
So if you're still with us now, we are still at the Blindspotting season finale party. And quite the evening.
Like a lot of emotions.
I'm going to process this for like a week, y'all.
I'm really embarrassed, we're learning, but also happy.
We're learning that people are actually listening to the show.
We have to be careful.
And we have to really not talk about everything. But it's cool. It's cool, cool, cool.
I'm
kidding. I don't give a fuck.
600 episodes and...
Yeah, this is the 600th.
600 episodes, and it was completely us. I mean, like, this was... This
what does
is
that
so
mean,
much...
Char? What I mean, does that like, mean?
There's actually a lot of things. Go, Char.
Well,
start
no,
it, and
like,
I... Yeah.
I just... Everything about this episode, we didn't know what we were going to come at. We literally had no idea. We had no idea what the 600 episode was going to be. And, you know, it started with...
Stuffing our faces.
A dinner, you know, Ange being... it's all the universes aligning with Ange being able to come home for 24 hours. Us, the three of us being able to have dinner together. And then,
weird. All weird. This is all still during a pandemic, by the way.
Right.
Just saying.
Us going to this premiere together when we didn't even know that this was going to happen when like, we were putting together
at
our week of Blindspotting episodes.
Right. Yeah. Not at
like
all.
3 days ago,
I
this
mean,
was set.
2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks ago, Aaron like was just like, I don't know, you guys. You guys are free. I'm just going to start booking people on the
yep.
show.
Well, and booking everything.
And I was like, we have to do something for our 600th. Why don't you guys come to SoCal? We can figure it out. And then Blindspotting just paved the way for us, and we are so honored to be here because my friend Aaron said, no media is here because it's not about media. This is about family.
Yep.
You know,
there might be one. I don't know.
But pandemic be damned. Taking care of elders be
all of it be damned. It's about the 600th episode. Well, we're here of Bitch on Talk.
600th episode. We just had some quality time, dude, with Rafa
and
with
David. Alana Brown.
Margo Hall.
Margo playing
Holy
the mom.
Molly.
And now they're playing E40.
Yeah. This is just too much.
I don't know what to say. I'm glad it all worked out. I told Ange a few days ago, I'm like, book your ticket. It's going to work out. And it did.
Yeah.
Look at me. And I was like, oh. Look at me being positive.
Look at you, Eeyore. Oh, maybe you're poo. Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh because of Eeyore.
I don't know what that
Not
meant.
Maybe you're Pooh. I meant maybe you're now Winnie the Pooh because you're evolving from Eeyore to Winnie.
I think the pandemic really did something. And now it just has to be positive. Everything has to be positive.
I like it. She called me very decisive. And she was like, Ange, we're going to get into the party. Don't worry about it. Just come.
I told her that.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yes, ma'am.
I like how... Aaron sent the text to our group text that was just like, we're in, bitches. And I was like, into what?
Yeah. And then Char had no idea what I was talking about.
I didn't respond because I was like, we're in, bitches. Okay, Liam, we're in. We're pretty in, I think. I don't know.
I knew you were busy. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed the 600th episode. We had David, Rafa, Margo, Alana.
We need about... probably 48 hours to process it.
Yes.
Angie's gonna go under the knife.
Yeah, I mean, is literally this week getting surgery. I'm driving her to SFO like in a few hours. But
by the time you hear this, I will have had surgery. So
right.
This is why we've backed up, stacked and stacked and stacked interview on interview. But I'm fine, obviously. It's not a big deal. This is a regular surgery.
The three of us will process what went on, you know, the last 24 hours, and then we'll be able to have another basic and unpack all of the other things.
And we just need Char to get home safely because she has another 2-hour drive home. So Char, thank you for coming down. We love
you. I gotta go
thank
see you. About a bird.
Literally.
Yeah. She's gotta go deal with real life situations. And we want to thank our listeners.
Yeah, thank you guys.
For 600 years of listening. We cannot even imagine what it's like to listen to
us.
Yeah,
we don't even know.
Episodes.
I'm sorry? Question mark.
I'm so sorry.
But actually, we have like not only this episode, but like way more fun stuff happening. Not way more fun.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Man,
we haven't disclosed our big thing that's happening in
a
couple weeks.
We have so many things in the bag.
Well, I don't even want to talk about it because I'm scared that it may not happen. So I'm just like, I don't want to announce it yet.
But yeah, we're not done is the point. It's like 600 and going strong.
And it's also like we're just getting better? Question mark?
I think so. All right. I mean, if Rafael Casal says he listened to a basic bitch.
About you going to the blind spot.
Now I will never...
He was driving here from LA listening to us talk about who knows what.
And I know, I'm so embarrassed.
It's always like, what did we just talk about for 45 minutes?
Yeah, and I will never be the same. So
it's fine, Ange.
I'm out. This is my last episode.
Oh,
branding it on a high note.
Thank you.
Actually, I do have a 90-minute drive home. I think that's what I'm
going to
listen to.
Yeah, I feel like you need to listen to that and tell us what the hell she talked about.
Every embarrassing thing I said.
Well, I know all the embarrassing things.
Because I'm sure I was like, he was wearing a nice suit. And then I couldn't find him. You know, something so fucking stupid.
It's fine. I love it. He loves it. He loves us. Fine. They both love us.
I think his quote was, how lit did you get?
I wasn't driving, bitch.
Okay, I like that we've had like 10 interviews and I keep hearing new stories. So I hope this is the last of the stories and we're done. I don't want to hear anything new about that night.
No, but it's also the lesson of me and Char actually need to be there every time. So yes. Thanks, Rafa, for bringing that to our attention. We kind of figured that, but now you just like...
I held it down. I just didn't record anything.
Did you help? Anyways.
I held it down.
All right. Thanks for listening.
You missed getting a new grill.
We gotta go. This is too much.
There is a grill room. Fuck. 600, you guys. Cheers.
Dude, I'm still tired again from the 500th, but the 600th has been like 600? Beyond. This is crazy
what
shit.
What podcast do you know has 600?
I don't know.
It's zero.
Well, Mark Maron has so like over 1,000, but
okay,
it's fine.
Except for Mark Maron.
Yeah.
What do you listen to that has 600?
None. Zero.
Fuck you. Fuck everybody else.
Char, do you know any over 600?
I'm not off the top of my head.
Yeah. Fuck the world.
Well, I don't know about that.
And cheers to bitch talk.
Well, cheers to bitch talk.
Cheers to bitch
because,
talk.
Because duh.
Well, I always say fuck the world.
Thanks for listening.
Oh. If you like what you hear, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more information about us, you can head to bitchtalkpodcast.com.
This podcast is created, hosted, and executive produced by Aaron Lin.
My co-host is Angela Tabora, a.k.a. Captain Party.
The show's edited by producer Shar.
We're powered by GoTo Productions.